If you have any questions, you can think of any questions. We'll do a little bit of a Q&A, and then whatever time afterwards, I will do with a short devotional or short challenge, depending on whatever time we have left. That's my plan for this morning. And so again, if you have any questions about anything, I mean, you can ask it. I don't know if I'll have the answer, but you can ask it. So we'll just kind of go with that. But anything about the ministry or what we're doing. But no, thank you so much for coming out and for being here. Thank you for your help. This weekend, you see here 10,000 John Romans right here in Tagalog going to the Philippines. And so that this is just a representation. So thank you for coming out. Again, this is part of a project that we're doing 380,000 total that we're hoping to have done by December. I believe we have about 100, I think we're going to have close to 200,000 done shortly. So we're still working on like another 180,000. But the goal for the reason that we're trying to have it done in December / early January is we need to be able to ship it. And international shipping takes anywhere from, it can take up to 3 months, just depending on what it is. Again, it's going to have to, we'll load it onto a container. A truck driver will take it to a train station. Train will take it to a port. Port put it on a boat. And then it'll go over. So it just kind of has a lot of steps and a lot of journeys. And so there's a lot of steps between here and this getting to the Philippines. And so again, it'll be taken probably to the port of LA, go on a boat, go that way. That would be the shortest route. And so just, there's a lot of steps that you can pray for that, between, now, you know, leaving here this morning and it getting to the Philippines. And the goal is for it to be there by Easter. I believe the missionary, his name is Brent Gellis. He is, doing a campaign where he is in the city of Antipolo. Don't know if I'm saying that right, but you can look it up. But he's there on one of the main islands, I believe. But there is a religious activity or walk that they do at Easter where everybody's walking up this large hill, and he's having a group of people come over, and they're going to have a team passing out all these John Romans where they're spread throughout this hill, and they're passing out John Romans as people. It's just something that they do every year. I don't know what the significance is for them, whether it's a church or a temple at the top of a hill, but all I know is these people just do this every year. They walk up this massive hill, thousands upon thousands of people, and there's stops all along the way where they will stop and kind of see a video, hear someone talking, whatever it might be, and they're trying to be spread throughout, passing out these John Romans. If you notice that there's a nicer or glossier cover when we were doing these, the purpose of that was, he said that when these people are walking up this hill, they get very, very sweaty just from walking up the hill. So they didn't want like a generic paper cover, because some of those, because of how sweaty their hands were getting, would just kind of disintegrate. So they used a nicer cover. He has a track on the inside of the cover, has the John and Roman, obviously. And on the, it's either on the back or on the inside. If the goal for them, obviously, is trying to reach the people, but they have a church that the people there in the Philippines can connect with if they read it and if they get saved, it says, hey, if we can help you, they have there's information, a number where they can connect with the church, which is their goal. They don't want to just evangelize. They also want to connect them with the church there. But they also have a question on the back of the John Romans that says, will your good works get you to heaven? Because I think these people, the Filipinos, whatever their mindset is, hey, I think it's part of their salvation. Like, hey, if I do this good work, if I do this maybe yearly walk or this pilgrimage, that's just something that, hey, you know, I did my walk. I can check that off for the year. And they're thinking it's part of their salvation. I need to do all these good works. And these John Romans, he's like, hey, we want to really try to challenge and combat that. And so that's what these went to and are going towards. So thank you for helping with this project. I'm with Bearing Precious Seed, and we are at a First Baptist Church in Milford, Ohio. We've been printing the Bible for 52 years. We've been able to print in over 70 different languages, and we've been able to print over 250 million copies of Scripture. I believe we're over 260 million. I just don't know the exact total number right now. I believe we hit 250 million a year or two ago, and then we've been able to average about 12 or 13 million that we can print each year. So we're probably closer to that 260 or 265 million. I just don't know exactly, but God's just been really blessing our ministry. Whereas again, the first year they were able to print like 15,000 New Testaments total. And now you know, the last few years, we've been able to print roughly 12 to 13 million copies of scripture. So again, we do print John and Romans, New Testaments, and whole Bibles. Some of that depends on what a missionary will request, but also some of that just depends on what is translated in these different languages. I'm not sure how where you are of it, but you can copyright a language. There's certain languages that we can't print the Bible of because there's a copyright been placed on it, or we can't, and then you'd have to pay the royalty for that, or we have to be given permission to print it, and we don't always have that. So there's some languages we're not able to print because of copyright laws and everything. And so, because some people, they just view the Bible as a dollar sign. It is the largest, it's the number one most selling book, and so people just view it as a way to make money. And so they can kind of keep that enterprise. People, a lot of big Bible or publishing houses, they don't care about people's eternity. They don't care about people's souls. They don't care about if they get introduced to Jesus or not. They just want to make money. So they want to print the Word of God and just sell it. And they want to keep other people from printing it. So that's kind of what's going on. But we believe, our church believes, that it is the church's responsibility to print the Word of God. God does not entrust the work of the church to people who are not, to the lost people. So why should we trust His Word to the lost as well? The church, if the church takes care of all of the day-to-day activities of the church, like teaching and preaching, why should they not take care of God's most precious Word? And so that's what our church believes, and that's why we've been printing the Word of God. And so we have been blessed that this year we've been able to print at least two new languages I know of that were languages in India, in the northeast part of India. We've been able to print, one was the Zhao Bible, and the other was the Vai Fei Bible. They are, again, languages or dialects in northeast India, I believe. India alone has over 1,000 languages spoken in its country, and so there's a lot of languages. There's over 7,000 languages in the world today, and over half of them do not have a verse in their Bible, or do not have a verse or a passage of scripture in their language. So they don't have a Bible. No one's going to them. They can't open up a Bible this morning. It's not because it's not available. It's not because they choose not to. It's because it's just not available to them. And so some of it's hard to imagine not having a Bible. I don't know about you, but I have probably like 3 or 4 at home. Can anyone else say, hey, I've got like two, I have multiple copies. You can find it online. You can do audio version. We have so much access to it. It's hard for us to imagine that there are people who they don't even know the name of God. They don't know the name of Jesus. And it's not because of lack of trying. It's just, it's not available to them. And so that's what that's something that it's a burden on our ministry. We want to see that number go down, and we want to be able to print more languages, but that also takes a lot of work as well. It takes a missionary going to a people group that doesn't have a Bible, learning their language, and then translating it. And then translating the Bible takes like almost a lifetime in and of itself. It can take about 7 to 10 years for a New Testament translation, and probably 15 plus years to translate the Old Testament. So that's a lifelong commitment in and of itself. And we work with people that we trust or ministries that are translating the Bible to work on new translations, because that's our goal. We're told in Revelation that there will be people from every tongue, tribe, and people group at the throne of God, and we want to help get more people there. And so we're just trying to be able to print in other languages. And if you think about it, we didn't have to learn a different language ourselves to be able to read God's Word. It was translated for us into English, so we need to help get the work done to be able to translate it for other people so they can have God's Word for themselves. So that's just one of our goals. But again, some of our biggest prayer requests that we have is we are looking at adding a new press to our print shop to be able to print covers. The covers that we normally print and work on, that press is breaking down, and I hate that machine. If we're doing a lot of things, we come in and we need the press to be running. There's days I come in, I'm like, hey, is it running? They're like, nope, it's not running. And I'm like, why not? He's like, this thing, it's an old press that they don't really make parts for anymore. So we either have to find a part, they have to fabricate a part, or they just have to hit it enough times and maybe it starts working again. But it is not a fun machine to depend on. And we are looking at installing. We have a new press either purchased or on the way. It just has to be disassembled, transported to our print shop, a setup, and it probably could take a month to be able to make sure everything gets wired correctly, installed, and get all the bugs worked out. So it's just something that's a big prayer request. We're needing that. And again, right now it's supposed to be able to print four colors to be able to print any design or cover that we would like for the John and Romans. Right now it can only run three colors. One unit, there's four units on it. One unit just doesn't work completely. So we need a new press before we start going down to only two units. So it's just something that it's breaking down actively. So if you just pray that machine will last like another month or two, and then that we can get the new one in and installed quickly so that we don't lose too much time of being able to print, because again, it's important. If we have the scripture, we need the covers to go along with it. So that's just like a big prayer request. And then we need people. We have two people who will not be at our ministry at the end of the year, not for any bad reason. One young man, he's my age, so he's, well, whatever it is you say with that. He's my age and a couple days younger, but him and his wife have just surrendered to be missionaries to the Philippines. And so but where they're going, they won't be able to use these scriptures because they're going to be in a different part of the Philippines and they speak a completely different language. That's a side note. So anyway, but he starts deputation in January, and he runs a couple different presses. So him and his family are going to start deputation in January. So we're losing him. And there's another gentleman that he is getting married next year, but he is going to be in Colombia. So his fiance is in Colombia. He is here. So he's going to move down to Colombia and kind of get ready for that. So we'll lose him in January as well. And so we need people. All of the workers at our print shop are members of our church. And so we need more people. And some of them, I know it seems kind of like a job that where they print Bibles, it seems like a normal job, but they could go make money elsewhere. And so they, with the skills that they have, they could go make more money elsewhere, but they believe that God wants them to be in our ministry and to be able to print the Word of God. So they are making a sacrifice and saying, hey, I need to do this because God has me here. And so we want more men that have that heart that says, hey, God wants me in this ministry and wants me to print God's Word. And we need more men like that. So if you wouldn't mind praying for that, that would be great. So that's our other biggest need would be paper. That's just one of the things that we keep finding paper at the right cost. One roll of paper roughly costs about $850 to $900 a roll of paper. And so that's just kind of just the cost that it takes. And so, but this year we've been able to load multiple containers. We just loaded a container last week or like a week and a half ago going to St. Vincent and one of the Caribbean islands. And so we just sent one there, and we have a couple more containers that we're going to hope to send out by the end of the year. Again, one to the Philippines. I think we're going to try to send another one. We have a couple different projects going on. And so that's just some of the different things that we have going on right now for the ministry as a whole. So again, thank you for your support over the years. I know you also have supported First Bible, and they're doing a lot of work of trying to work on what we refer to as Bibleist people groups. And so just thank you. You do Seedline and just everything that you do, just kind of part of our ministry. We just thank you very much for your involvement. Your first project, I believe, was in 2017. I looked it up. So you've been doing it now for, I don't know, one of you might know. I can't remember if we skipped COVID year. I don't know. We may have done it. I actually have no idea.
We didn't skip, but the time changed.
But the time changed. So that's all it did?
Yes.
It's possible we missed a year, unless we went from like a October to March and missed 1 year technically. That may have happened, but this was probably your seventh time, possibly your eighth time. And so you're probably, I would imagine, I can do a total whenever I get back to Milford tomorrow, look at the records and send that to Brother Luke. But you're probably getting close to 100,000 John and Romans that your church has helped assemble over the past 7-8 years. So just thank you for your involvement and your continuation to be involved. And so we just appreciate that. And for your sacrifice and everything going on, we just really appreciate being able to come out and do that this week. And then I'll do a quick update on my family. I sent a letter out, but kind of just explaining everything. We are, again, this is our 8th year of traveling and doing Seedline full time. With Bearing Precious Seed, we've been doing projects. We started full time doing projects in 2017. So probably your first year is when I came. That was like my first year of traveling. I've been involved for about 9 or 10 years now, full time. I started whenever I was in college, but we've been doing that. And so again, we have two kids, and we have, I did see that our prayer cards are still in the back. My wife is Shannon. We have two boys. Quinn is our oldest. He is 7. He is in second grade, which is kind of hard to, he's just getting big. And then our youngest, his name is Cameron. He is 3 years old. And so that is, again, we travel around the country doing this year round. And, this year I've gone to California, and I've gone to North Carolina. I've dropped down to Florida, Texas, Arizona. So been all over the country, Missouri, Indiana, here, Pennsylvania, Ohio. And so we travel all over the country. So we would appreciate your prayers as we drive. There's a lot of crazy drivers out there, and there's just a lot of miles that we're traveling. So we would appreciate your prayers for that. And then for our boys, they have different health needs going on. Our oldest, his name, again, Quinn, he deals with epilepsy. He's been dealing with epilepsy since he was 6 months old. He has probably had about five seizures in his lifetime, maybe like one or two more. His most recent one was in April. He had two like minor seizures that it happened while I was in Texas. So I was out of town at a project, and it happened while Shannon and Quinn and Cameron were at home. And so I rushed home, and they just kind of did some testing in the hospital, and it led us to about a month ago do some more testing. He had an MRI, and it kind of just revealed some things that something didn't form or separate on his brain properly. It just didn't develop the way that it's supposed to. And so they're talking about how that it's possible that he is going to just, we had the goal, or we had a hope, that Quinn would grow out of his seizures, and it is possible that he will just live with epilepsy his whole life that needs to be managed by medication. And so we don't know for sure, but that's what it's looking that it's possibly like. And so just kind of prayers for him as we kind of just move forward managing that and figuring out what's the next step of his care and just what we need to kind of do with him. We, not that we're hiding it from him, but you just prayers for me and Shane as we will, when he gets to the age where he's asking more questions, that we can just explain everything clearly to him and try to help him through this. He knows that he had the MRI, but he's never really asked questions after it about, hey, what are the results or what's going on? So we know what they are, and I just have to, that when we get to the point of explaining that to him and just kind of like what his next steps are. And then for Cameron, he is 3. He has a bone disease in his leg, and he is actually going to be having surgery in about 10 days from now. On October 22nd, he is going to have surgery on his right leg. It can last about 2 hours. His bone disease is called Trevor's disease, and he is growing extra bone in his joints, and it's also causing his right leg to grow faster and longer than his left leg. His left leg is how tall he's supposed to be, and his right leg is 3 centimeters longer than his left leg. So one, he has to wear special like custom orthotics essentially to kind of balance out his legs, because otherwise it would mess up his hips and everything as he's walking. You can tell, and he compensates really well, but it does make him a little bit clumsier, but he has a shoe lift that kind of goes along with that. But the surgery is going to, they're going to go in and they're going to restrict the growth plates on his right leg. So they're going to go in and put 2 plates. Total, they're going to go and put in 4 plates and 8 screws in his leg. They're going to put they're going to put plates around a growth plate above and below his knee to restrict the growth of his right leg so that his left leg could catch up. It's going to be in for about 2 to 3 years, and then they'll go in after that, after his left leg catches up, and then he'll have another surgery to remove the plates. And so it's just kind of, this is just the first step in trying to correct what's going on. It's possible he will have other surgeries in the future. We're just not really sure what's going on, but we know right now he's going to have surgery on the 22nd in the morning. So did multiple prayer requests about that. Just he's going to have to fast from like the night before, that he just does well with that. I don't know about any of you with your kids, but as soon as he wakes up, which is sometimes at like 6 a.m., he immediately is asking for food. So just that he would do well with us saying, hey, you can't eat. And that he has had anesthesia in the past, but that again, he would just, everything would go well with anesthesia. Everything would go well with the surgery. Everything would go well with the recovery. We were told we're not sure how he's going to recover. They say that some kids recover really well from the surgery, and other kids, they do not recover well. It takes them a lot longer to recover from this. So it's just kind of, I'm technically scheduled at the moment to leave the very next day to go on a project. I may be changing that because there's times I just don't know how he's going to be doing. Cameron would stay healthy up so that he can have the surgery, just so that we don't have to delay it, reschedule it. It's kind of, you know, we're trying to fit in all of these doctor's appointments around our travel schedule. So it's just easier if we could just kind of get it done when it's scheduled and get it out of the way. But just that everything would go well and that he would just recover and respond well. So that's just some of our bigger prayer requests right now. That's kind of an update on us, and we're just, God's been good to us, and he has kind of worked things out and allowed, he's been good through it, but we would just ask for prayer as we kind of just manage both of the health situations with our boys, and that we kind of, just have the wisdom that we need in taking care of them and just moving forward. That's just our biggest prayer request right now. That's kind of it, and that's kind of an update on the ministry and our family. And before, I think we might have about 20 minutes left, 15, 20 minutes left. Does anyone have any questions about anything that I have talked about this morning? So again, I won't do this big of an update in the morning session. I'll do a quick update so we can jump into the message. But does anyone have any questions this morning? Yes?
Those 7,000 languages, does that include the dialects or?
Yes. Languages, dialects. So there's like every country would have like their main language, and then as you go into tribes and villages, they'd have like the different languages or dialects. But yes, there's over 7,000 languages and dialects in the world.
Wow.
And some of them don't have a written language, so you'd have to go in, make an alphabet, or learn the language, make an alphabet, and write it down. Teach that to the people who have never been taught how to read and write. And then translate. So I mean, like some of those are like multiple lifetimes, depending on what it is. But so that's just depending on those languages. Some ministries, what they're trying to do is they will work on doing an audio book, or they will record the language in an audible form, so they have a Bible to work with, and then they will also then start working on trying to write it down and get it translated, so they have it to read. But they want them to be able to have something. We also have ministries. I think our ministry is starting something, a Bible pictorial book, where it's kind of like almost like what kids have for like Bible stories. But for if you're thinking of a people group who has never been introduced to any Bible stories, it goes through the Old Testament up to Jesus and has very... it picks out very key stories to introduce them to have a biblical worldview. Because if they never heard any Bible stories, said, hey, let's start in Genesis and go through all the way, that tries to tell the story of redemption through pictures, so that they would be introduced to who God is, and then try to do, here's a Bible in audio form, and then work on trying to get them the Bible in written form. So there's just a lot of things to try to witness to those people that may be, because sometimes, again, if you've been saved for many years, or if you've been in church a lot of years, we already know, like, hey, we know the Bible stories. But if you try to imagine someone who has never had any of that, you have to have a foundation to kind of work on. So that's just some of the things that they are doing, or trying to reach people who have no concept of God or the Bible whatsoever. Anybody else have any questions? Yes, sir.
Are y'all currently working on that with any people groups? And if so, if you mind.
I don't know of who they're working on right now. I mean, I know that there are people. I wouldn't know all that information exactly. I know there's people in our ministry or connected to our ministry that are working on translation projects. They may not say what it is. They may classify it as, hey, we're just going to call it this project. But I know there's a couple people that are connected to our ministry, have been through our ministry, that are working on some translation projects right now. But they don't all, we may not be live streaming or whatever, but they don't always like say it, depending if it's like a, if the government may have like difficulties with it or complications with it. But I know there's like a translation project that's being working on in like Northeast India or in that region for a people group. There's someone who's going to be working on a translation project for a people group, an indigenous people group in Colombia. And so there's multiple people that are kind of, that have gone through our ministry who they have found a people group that God has said, hey, translate the Bible for them. And they're starting to take those steps of working towards that.
I'm trying to remember, when they translate into a new language, do they sometimes just do John and Romans first?
That depends on the translator. If I have talked to them, what I've heard, the easiest books to like translate, John and Romans are not the easiest books to translate, but it's like gives the gospel and like key foundational doctrines. That's why they would go for that. But some of the easiest books to translate are like 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Book of Mark, because it's very action oriented. And so those are like probably some of the easiest. Romans, with all the stuff that is in Romans, is not an easy book to translate, but it's, you know, it's necessary. But that's just kind of, from what I've talked about or people dealing with translation, they go for like probably the easier books first, or they maybe before they get into translating entire books, they may knock out, I've heard someone saying that they will go through and translate all of the names that are in the Bible or in the New Testament. There's a lot of names. They want to get all the names translated first and maybe knock out a lot of things where they have a list of, hey, this is how it's been translated, and then we'll just jump into doing that. So there's a lot of process in it. I'm not that smart, so I'm just trying to convey loosely through conversations I've heard of what they do. Yes, sir.
I guess I should ask, is there been any Bible project that you've done that's like in like the first, have they ever done like just a one book, and have you gone to churches and had that printed out? I mean, do you primarily just do John and Romans, or do you ever have like, hey, we're just doing the Gospel of Mark?
We did that one time, actually. We did it in Mongolian. They printed it, but there are some times we have done just the Gospel of John in like an Arabic or a Middle Eastern country, depending on what's translated. So I know that we've done the Book of John before. I know we've helped assemble the Book of Mark in Mongolian. And so there are sometimes like maybe if they have that like specifically. But again, what we deal with for Seedline going out to churches, we're usually putting books together that fall under 64 pages, at most 128. I mean, I think very much at most, maybe 196 pages. But after you get out of that, it starts going to where you're gonna need the staples won't hold all that together. And so, we have done Mark, we've done just the Gospel of John. So depending on what's been translated. It needs to go to, yeah, something stronger. Because about 128, maybe a little bit more, is about as much as it's going to take, whereas then the staple just gets hard to kind of hold it together.
For that language in Mongolia, was that an unreached people group?
I'm not sure. I know there's been missionaries to Mongolia, but it may have just been... there are some languages where they have a Bible translated, but the translation is a very terrible translation, so it needs to be redone. And so that might be one of those instances. Whereas, sort of, I guess, an update on that, the pastor at the time who started Bearing Precious, his name is Dr. Charles Keene. I'm not sure if you've heard of him, but he did a lot of work on trying to get the Mongolian Bible translated, and they have just finished... So I guess some of the translation process, they have just finished translating the whole Bible of Mongolian. But whenever you get that, it's still not ready to print. they have like a, they have it done, but what now it needs to go through is there's several steps where you, it, once you fully translate it, you then send it to a couple national Mongolian people who are going to read it and say, hey, go through it and see if it makes sense and see if it's what it should read like. Again, I don't know how they're checking all that, but they're going through and saying, hey, this is what the Bible should read like. Does this read as well, like how it's supposed to? And if there's errors, they go back and correct that, or then they, so there's multiple, there's like a multiple step where they, you know, translation is going to be done by human people, so you're going to have to go through and find some of the errors or some of the just, you kind of have multiple people look over it to say, hey, is there anything wrong? Do we need to check on that? You usually do a team of people who are translating, so everybody's kind of checking each other's work, try to get out any errors or any revisions that need to be done. And then there's like a couple steps, or it's still a few years away for, hey, we're going to try to do it. But they're going to then have to do a small print and try to get people to accept it. Because if it's, hey, here's a new Bible of yours, they're like, I've never seen that. You have to do something to try to get people to accept it and then try to start then doing mass printing. If that makes sense. Yes.
Just curious, what all does the 17 cents include?
Whenever we do this? Okay, so whenever we, like for the 17 cents or what it's doing, it covers the cost of the John and Roman, it covers the signature, which is the white paper, it covers the cost of the cover, and then included in that is essentially getting me from Milford to your church and then back to it. And it covers all of the fuel, the wear and tear on the vehicles that when that happens. It covers the cost of like the staples, the tape, all of the supplies that go into making, assembling it as John Roman. Someone has figured all that out. And so that's kind of like what is all included inside of that.
Sorry, I have so many questions.
Oh, that's all right.
It's called the, I was calling it the cutter. What do you call it?
The trimmer.
Cutter trimmer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how much was that like?
That trimmer is about $6,000. And so what, I guess part of the, what we figured the cost into that is mainly the blades. Like when I go home today or when I go into the shop tomorrow, I probably need to change the blades on the trimmer because they get dull after a certain amount of time. And I'm getting ready to go this next week. I'll go to Pennsylvania and I'll be doing 50,000 or 51,000. And so I need fresh blades because after they get dull after about 75 to 100,000. And with these glossier covers, they get dull faster. So you have to change them periodically. And so that's just kind of like part of it.
Does that take a lot of maintenance?
Changing it would take me like 30, 40 minutes if I'm slow.
Well, I mean, like the cost on the maintenance on it, is that pretty?
It's pretty, like, it's not too hard. It's just kind of, I think maybe it just kind of helped go to like covering the cost of like sharpening the blades. Because we'll take them off, send them out to a company, they'll sharpen it, and then send it back to us.
I'm sorry if I missed it, but how many sites do you go to during the year?
How many states I go to? I'll go to Florida, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Indiana, Michigan, churches in Ohio. I've done Kentucky, Tennessee, Missouri, Texas, Arizona, and California.
About 12 states.
Okay, I was like, I wasn't counting. I was like, if you counted, it's better than me. So.
I was counting as you said, or else I would be lost. How is it traffic? You drive out to California?
Yes. Well, this year I technically made someone else drive out for me and I flew, but that's just what, because I guess the reason I did that, if you care, if I drive out there, it takes me, if I drive to California, it'll take me 3 days.
Yeah.
Depending on how I do it. That's about 32-hour drive, maybe. And I'll go a certain route that takes me through El Paso because our ministry has a property there. So it's 22 hours to El Paso. Maybe it'd take me 4 days. It takes me, because I know it's like, I'll do 22 hours to El Paso. It's another 7 hours to Phoenix. And I think it's like another 6 hours to LA. So depending on how you go, it just kind of goes across that way. And so that's at least like 4 or 5 days of me driving, then trying to find an airline to get back. And so Things are a little bit more challenging with our youngest or with our kids. So there's someone who is training. I'm training someone, and he should be starting full-time traveling in January. And so I was like, I've driven this several years. Why don't you drive it? So I made him drive everything out, and then I flew out there with my family. So that's what I did. Mainly, it's not a fun drive. So I was like, I've done it, so now it's your turn. So that's just kind of, that was my thought process. So,
that's but, a long drive with kids.
Sure. Yes, so they won't drive it. So that's why I do it by myself, and then we fly together. But I didn't want to make Shannon fly with two kids by herself. So I was like, that'd be a lot of flying back and forth. And I was like, if you drive it, we'll just fly out and do that, just the two of us. So, but yeah, and then I was going to, I can't remember what I was going to do, but I was going to drive back from Texas, but because Quinn went into the hospital, I'm pretty sure I had to rush home, and I think I made the someone that I was working with, I said, hey, I can't do it right now, you're going to fly back. So he flew down to Texas to drive everything back. So I was like, okay, he's been very helpful in certain, and we've had a couple things that have popped up, and so he's kind of getting a short end of a stick on a lot of things, and like that have come up, whether appointments or whatever, and I'm like, you get to do this now. So, but he's training, he's a young man, and so we need people in C-Line as well. So there's that's another prayer request, that we need more young men to surrender to, want to be able to do this for their lives or what God has called them to do. So, but yeah, from here to, you know, here to Milford, 2 hours. Super easy. And I, again, my aunts in the room, I've had family here in Indianapolis for obviously my whole life. And so I know this route really well of driving it. This is probably the easiest drive. Maybe another church that's like an hour away is the easiest, but it's always nice whenever it's only like when I was growing up, I was like, 2 hours, that's such a long drive. Now I'm like, 2 hours, that's easy.
Yeah. Makes a lot of difference.
2 hours to 8 hours of driving is a lot of difference, and a lot of different many stops depending on that. So
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're probably running out of time now. Does anyone have?
Do
you always take your family with you?
I will take them as much as I can. Right now, it's becoming harder to take them. Some of it is because of school. Like right now, we were pulling Quinn out last year quite a bit, and then we had a meeting with the school, and they're like, yeah, you're taking him out too much. And so I was like, oh, because I was about to ask to take him out for like the next 2 weeks straight. And they're like, yeah, you cannot do that. And I'm like, oh, okay. So he goes to, our church has a Christian school. That's where I went to. That's where Shannon graduated. We both graduated from there. And so Shannon has not necessarily wanted to homeschool. We want to put them in the Christian school. And so they're like, hey, he needs to be in, because of different situations, he has to be in person. So we have to be very careful how much we pull him out. And then with different things, it's just been easier for them to kind of stay in for this fall semester. And just last year was a little bit, we were kind of figuring some things out. So in next year, we're gonna have to do some weird things where I might have to like withdraw him from school, so we homeschool him for like a month or two, because I don't want to travel by myself out. Like here, it's not as bad, where I'm home quite a bit, or I'm really close if I need to. But when I'm going to like Texas or California, we're trying to figure some things out. So that's some wisdom with Quinn's schooling. We have to kind of figure some things out. So it's just kind of made it more challenging with that, and with school saying, yeah, you can't pull him out whenever you want. So.
Very challenging.
Yes, sir.
What has been your greatest experience, I guess, in this ministry, or what do you enjoy most about it?
Well, those are almost like two different questions.
The greater experience one's too large, just what do you enjoy the most?
What do I enjoy the most about it? One thing that I do enjoy is, or just thinking about this, maybe it's not the what I enjoy the most, but this thought stands out, is I have no reason, normally I would have no reason to travel the country or to know so many people around the country, but because of churches saying, hey, we want to evangelize the world, we want to see the Bible, we want to see God's word go out, and God has allowed me to be in this ministry, I get to meet people all over the country who normally we would share no common interests, but because we're both saved, I'm in at a church that wants to put God's word together, they're at a church who wants to do that, and we're kind of just meeting in the middle and making it happen. I'm meeting friends and meeting fellow believers around the country who have a common interest. We all have things common and saying, hey, you know, God's word is important, let's get it out. And that's a really neat thing to be a part of. I have not recently, there's been a couple times I've been able to like maybe pass out in different circumstances, but I know I remember 11 years ago was probably like my last foreign missions trip, just because of just the stage of life I'm in. It's harder to leave our kids as much, but seeing the full circle of seeing where it's printed, being somewhere where a church is putting it together, and then going on the other side of the world to help pass it out is just a neat experience. And if you've never gone on a missions trip, would encourage you to do it. And if you've ever been, hey, we're going to put some together, then go pass them out, it's a neat thing, whether it's here, you know, whether it's here in your area or it's foreign, on the foreign field, it's just kind of neat to be able to see the whole process of what God allows us to do and say, hey, you know, I want you to take care of our word. And I have to be careful myself that I don't take it for granted, because I walk past a printing press and I walk past Bibles all day long. That's just what I do every day with just the nature of what we do. I have to make sure that it doesn't become too common or too just regular, and just realize just what we get to be a part of. And that, one, it's a great responsibility that God has asked us to do, but that just that He allows me to be a part of it. And it's just neat to be able to, that He would allow me, that, you know, to do this. And that you keep having me back. So you didn't meet me the first year and said, let's find somebody else. So it's
a great responsibility, isn't it?
It is.
Well, we're very happy that you can come out every year.
Well, I've been happy to come out, and thank you for continuing to have me come out. So, and I think it's about 10:25. Do you want to kind of like break now for the morning service? All right. We'll break. And then I guess we'll start back in about 5 minutes, so.
About
10:40. Never mind, 10:40, so. I guess we have time for another question. No.
Get some coffee.
All
right.
Time.
If there's any donuts left.
Any donuts left, so. But thank you. If something comes up, you can feel free to ask, and we will jump into
it. Pray for you.
Yeah, we can pray.
Father God, I just thank you for this time, Lord God. Thank you for just all you've done. Thank you for saving us, dear God. Thank you for just using Brother Tyler and his family in his ministry. Do lift him up to you, Lord God. Just pray for wisdom for he and his wife and his two boys, Lord God. Just how to care for them. It does sound like a busy schedule, a lot of travel. Didn't think about it, but as they say, you have a job that keeps you on the road. It increases your the danger of your job exponentially. So do pray for his safety, for his family's safety as they travel as well. Just thank you for his willingness to be used by you, Lord God. I pray you continue to use him and keep him humble. Just as he said there, Lord God, that these things would not become common to him, but just that you would give him a great joy and be able to handle your word and give it to people. Lord God, give them the eternal truth which can make them free. I pray that we would all be excited about this and not take what you've given us for granted. Just thank you for the Sunday school hour, God. Please bless us. May you continue to help us in the service to come. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah. Well, I will, if you're good, one last thing. I'll share one thing that one of the neatest experiences or whatever. While I was traveling, I was out in California, and I had finished at a project, and I was driving. I had to drive from like Southern California up to Northern California or something, somewhere in between. It was a many-hour drive, and as I was driving, I've had this happen like two or three times, and it's always like in the back of my mind, like it's never something you want to see. Someone flew up next to me, threw on their flashers and was like pointing behind me, like at the trailer. And I'm like, that's not good. I thought I blew a tire, so I like pulled off to the side of the road. And when I went to the back, all the tires were fine, but the doors were starting to come open. And I'm like, what in the world? So like the doors of the trailer were starting to come open. And I'm like, that's not good. And so I was pushing it closed, but there was no way to latch it. There is a certain bolt that holds in everything tight had just popped out. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm gonna do. I still have like 4 hours to drive and this is not like safe. Like I couldn't latch the doors. I had no idea if anything had fallen out, to be honest. I was like, I'm just assuming everything's inside the trailer. But, and so I found something to kind of like secure it briefly, but I felt very uncomfortable about it because I didn't want the safety of people behind me or just losing things out the back. So I was like, I was going, driving, I kept stopping to check, and I finally found like a truck stop. So I pulled in and I'm just like it was kind of like, God, I don't know what's going on. I need help. Cause I went inside the truck stop and I was like looking around. I bought something. I'm like, I don't know if this is gonna help or not. I went out and I was like, it wasn't gonna help out at all. And I'm just like, I have got to get up there. Cause I think I was flying out the next morning. So I'm like, I'm on a dead timeline that someone needs me there tonight. And I'm like, what's going on? Someone pulled up right next to me. It was just people who maybe were farmers or whatever, or truck drivers. But I just like walked over and I was like, I don't normally just go up to people at the gas stations. I just randomly, but I was just like, do you guys have like zip ties? I need like big zip ties. And he's like, yeah, sure. And he asked me, and so he pulled out like two or three that I needed to be able to secure it. And he's like, what do you do? And I'm like, hey, I'm a missionary. I'm putting Bibles together. And then, cause there's, I don't know if it was a time where I'm like, Lord, I need you to provide or whatever. And he pulled out like $100, said, here, take this. I'm like, oh, are you sure? And it was just something like, if God can, there's been times where maybe I've struggled with that personally about, hey, you know, I have these bills or what's going on, but on the side of the road or like at a truck stop, he provided zip ties that randomly the person that pulled up next to me had, you know, not randomly, but he provided someone to pull up that had zip ties so I could secure the trailer in a safe way to get to where I needed to go. And then also it was just like, hey, here's I can provide for you zip ties and I can provide for you financially, you know, wherever you're at. And it was a very special thing to see. And I just remember that was just one of the neatest experiences while driving, other than there's been a lot of things happen, but that kind of stands out. So,
yes. But
that takes us to 10:30. So I was just sharing that, like God can provide. And there's been times maybe I've struggled with that at different times, but there's other times and he just always proves himself faithful and has done that. So. But yeah, so I guess we'll break now for the next 10 minutes. So.
Yeah.